This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Hannah Whitten Show. This week, I have my dear friend, Florence Schechter, with me, and I've pronounced your name right.
Yeah, Hannah Whitten.
Oh, God damn it. But if I was going to do it properly, I'd have to be like, where's the in it?
In the middle. Schechter.
Schechter.
Mm.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
Jew Club. For people listening, Florence and I went to the University of Birmingham together. That's how we know each other. But more recently than that, Florence has founded the Vagina Museum.
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna basically be quizzing you all about the Vagina Museum.
Please do.
Very shortly. But what we do on this show, when we have new guests on, is we initiate them.
Oh, no.
By searching their name on Urban Dictionary. Wait, why is the...
Mine is
what?
So nice!
What? What? What just happened? This has never happened before. What?
I promise I
that
didn't
was
plant
you?
It. I didn't plant it.
Oh, God. I was like, what is happening? Okay, I thought... You know how, like, on... I was like, what's happening? You know when you go on the Urban Dictionary homepage and it has, like, word of the day? Basically, Urban Dictionary's here and it just says Florence. And I freaked out thinking that it was the word of the day. And my producer, Lissy, is just going, no, I already searched it. Like, damn you. Like, properly freaking out. Okay, do you want to read the definition for Florence?
Oh, it feels a bit egotistical.
No, do it. It's brilliant.
Florence, the most beautiful name any female can possibly have.
Oh, and then I love doing the examples. So, mum number one. Ooh, she's adorable. What's her name? Mum number two. I know, she's 6 months now. Her name's Florence. Mum number one. I'm not surprised. Suits her perfectly.
Oh.
What? My favourites is like how you would use it in a sentence. It's like so ridiculous. I love it. I love it. I want to find like other... Sometimes if you do a bit of a scroll, you can find some other definitions. Here we go. Florence is another word for a cigarette lighter of any description. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is why we didn't know that. The word is used mainly by 11 to 15-year-old kids that smoke and are trying to stop their parents finding out. But actually, this was written in 2006. I was 14 in 2006.
Oh, my God.
So I should have known, but I didn't smoke, so there we go.
I was 15. Maybe I was just on the cusp. I wasn't, you know.
You were like, nah, these 11-year-olds, and they're, like, smoking. stop their parents finding out. It's used as a code word to describe the fact that the person is talking, the person talking may need a lighter.
I really doubt this definition, though, because it says it's thought to have a connection to Florence Nightingale, because the Lady of the Lamp. 11 to 15-year-olds don't know Florence Nightingale.
No, you do, though. Like, you learn Florence Nightingale in primary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's been a long time since I was in primary school.
Like, do we? I don't remember anything. Bit of a disclaimer, guys. This is a pre-record. I'm so sorry. Hannah, presently, as you are listening to it, is in Menorca, chilling the fuck out and probably sipping cocktails on a beach somewhere with Callum and Melanie. It's going to be great. What's Florence doing on Wednesday at 6 till 8 p.m.?
Oh, God.
Listening to Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
I have no idea what I'm doing that far in advance. I barely think more than a couple days in advance.
Oh, fair.
I'm probably sleeping.
But I will be on my phone. I will be on the internet. So please tweet in during the show at FUBAR Radio, or you can email hannah@fubarradio.com, and I'll be like on the Twitters, and you can say hello. Hi.
Hope you're enjoying the beach.
Yeah, I know. Hope you're having a great time, Hannah. Also, it is a Friday morning. It's so early. I think this is like the earliest. I had to actually get on the tube with commuters.
Did you be like, I'm not one of you, I promise?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm never normally here. I always schedule my meetings earliest 11 a.m. so I don't have to, like, be on the tube at this time with all of you people who have jobs. Like, why? And then the tube broke down as well. So I was oh, this is why.
Yeah, this is why.
But we've got loads of fun stuff on the show. We are going to be doing some drunk advice later in the show, although it is 9:30 so a.m. So we will be like, Florence has got tea, I've got water, it's great.
I'm technically drinking.
Yeah. We I don't know. We'll be in the spirit of drunk, it'll be great.
Yes.
Songs about sex, dirty talk, asking for a friend, and position impossible. So all of that to look forward to. So Florence.
Yeah.
Vagina Museum.
Yeah.
How did this whole thing come about, and also what the hell is it, and where should people go to find out more?
So I came up with this idea because I also have a YouTube channel about science, and I did a video about my top 10 animal penises. And I really liked it. So I thought, oh, I'll do a vagina one. And I went on the internet and I couldn't find any information. It's so difficult. And there is actually like a bias towards male genitalia research to female genitalia research.
Wow. Yeah.
And a friend of mine had just...
Not surprised.
I know. And a friend of mine had just been in Reykjavik in Iceland, and she was like, Florence, you know there's a penis museum?
There's a penis museum.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I really want to go.
Do. Oh my God. I've never been there in person, but I have seen many, many a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, maybe there's a vagina museum. And I went on the internet, and there wasn't one. There's like an online museum, but there's no like building where you could like go and visit and learn about vaginas.
Yeah.
And I was really upset about this, but I was like, there's only one way to not be upset about it, and that's to make a vagina museum.
Yeah, you just gotta make a vagina museum. I love that, because people like often complain like, why isn't the world this way? And then I'm like, be the change you want to see. And that's what you're doing. Yeah. It's incredible. And so you've started like fundraising, mm-hmm. Because museums take a long time.
Yeah.
You have a Patreon page. I'm a patron.
Yes, yeah, you are. Thank you.
I mean, yes, I will. I love museums and I love vaginas. So I'm like, yes, to both things. And yeah, so people can kind of like, you have a Twitter, you've got all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's ways for people to kind of get in touch and support in like, and also like follow the process.
Yeah,
Of like, making this museum a reality. And you have a comedy night,
mm-hmm.
which is sold out, but there's going to be more.
There are going to be more. Keep an eye on our Twitter and our Instagram, which is like @vagina_museum for both Twitter and Instagram, because we're going to be doing comedy nights. There's going to be film screenings. There's going to be classes.
Amazing.
You know.
And so this is all kind of like just to build momentum and get it like off the ground, and then
And also to like find out what you want to see in a museum. You
sure.
know, I don't want to be so presumptuous to know what you want to see.
Yeah. So I have like a desire. Like, I wanted to make a sex museum in London, because there's like one in New York. There's a bunch in like mainland Europe.
Oh, there's loads in Europe.
Brexit. But yeah, we don't have any.
No.
The Wellcome Collection had like a temporary exhibition on sexology for a while, which I was like, yes! And I went to about a dozen times. And I used to have this note in my phone. I think it was in the app Evernote, where I had all of my ideas for a sex museum. Mm-hmm. But I think I deleted Evernote, so it's gone. But I have another note in my phone that says sex museum.
So many notes.
Created on the 1st of November 2015, because this is when I went to the sex museum in New York. And I've like basically written quotes that I found on like one of the exhibitions. Mm-hmm. And it was all about, I think it was like something about the history of porn. And there was like lots of... I don't know. But this quote comes from A Pretty Girl's Companion and Guide to Love's Sweetest Delights. Mm. And it said, if a boy is plump and good looking, and especially if he has a pretty sister, it is impossible for him to keep from being fucked in the ass by some man who will fancy him. Your face!
That was not going where I thought it would go. Like,
what? And then... Can I say the C word? Yeah, okay, right, let's do it.
Reclaim it.
I'm like, let's do it. And then it also says, if you are lucky enough to be asked, never refuse to let a man suck your cunt.
Mm. Wow.
And then I think that was for Buried Treasure, a.k.a. Ever Ready and Abby's Buried Treasure. I don't know. That's what I've written in that note. I don't know what that means. I want to try and find my, like, Evernote thing with, like, my...
There must be a way you can back it up, like, get the... app back.
Yeah, because you have a login to Evernote, so I'm like, I'm going to try that. Okay, we're going to talk loads more about vaginas and vagina museum related stuff right after this. Literally during that song, I like re-downloaded Evernote, reset my password, like, because I couldn't remember it, went back in and there's no notes in there, so I feel like I've used the wrong email and maybe I'd used a different, I don't know. Maybe my list of my sex museum ideas are gone forever, but that doesn't matter because you're making a vagina museum, so, and I'm here and I'm happy to help. That's great.
Yay!
Yeah, so what kind of things could people, like, expect in a vagina museum? Like, what's the thing?
Well, the thing?
Like, what is that?
So the dream, the final museum, it's going to have three main galleries. It's going to have a science gallery, it's going to have a cultural one, it's going to have a history one. So the science one is, like, essentially anything you need to know about having a vagina or interacting with a vagina. So, like, this is what the vagina is, but this is what the clitoris is, and this is what the uterus is, and this is all the things they
do. So, like, the whole
vulva, everything. Well, vulva's just external, but also internal stuff.
Yeah.
And then it will be, like, also, you know, intersex, gender identity, sexuality, menstruation, menopause, anything you could possibly need to know is going to be in there.
I'm so into it.
Also animals, because just for me, because also animals have the most amazing vaginas. Oh, my God. Did you know it is impossible for a hyena to be raped because her clitoris blocks the entrance to her vagina? And the only way you can get into her vagina is if she purposefully retracts her clitoris and opens the hole.
So, but does she have to pull it, or could someone else do that, or is it just it
no?
Just
it's a
happens.
Muscle. It's a muscle construction.
It's a muscle, so it's her doing it.
Yeah. And then there's going to be a cultural one, which will be like vagina representations in culture, so like in art and music and stuff, but also it'll be how cultures treat our vaginas. Mm-hmm. So it will be.
Have you read Vagina by Naomi Wolf?
No, I haven't, but it's like on my shelf waiting.
Yes, you have to read it.
I've got so many vagina books now. I just finished reading Vagina Monologues.
Oh yeah, wonderful,
which is amazing.
Yeah, Vagina by Naomi Wolf. We read it for the Bang Book Club last year, and it's like changed my world. It's so good.
And then the history one will be about, like, basically feminism and oppression and what we did about it and what we're still doing about it.
I love it. Yeah. Yes, especially the history part. I'm like, yes. But also just, I guess, how vaginas have been perceived over time, not just, like, I'm currently reading Sex at Dawn. Mm-hmm. Have you read that?
No.
It's really interesting. It's about... It's about human sexuality, but it's kind of like it's basically trying to rewrite the standard narrative that, like, about what is, like, the essence of human nature. Like, what are we biologically programmed, like, only biologically programmed to be like when it comes to, like, sex and mating and relationships?
Small questions, you know.
Yeah, really small questions, like, really easy to answer in one book. Because, like, one of the things that they talk about is, like, how so many people cheat in relationships, so many people have, like, more than one sexual partner, yet we still, like, have this social pressure to be in a long-lasting monogamous relationship. And it's like, is that actually what human beings naturally are inclined to do?
Yeah.
And their argument is no. And it's fascinating because I'm learning so much about bonobos and chimps. And, like, that's your thing, because we did a video together years ago when you were like, some animal sex facts and stuff, and I learned about bonobos, and now I'm like reading more about them. I'm like, oh,
they're the best.
So cool. But yeah, it's fascinating. And, like, one thing I have learned though is that out of this is where, because you did a biology degree, and this is where, like, my
biochemistry in the form is in the school of biology.
What's our, like, group? Not just mammals, but, like, more specific to, like, apes or...
We're a type of grape ape. Great ape.
Grape. we're a type of grape.
So there's, like, five great apes, and we're one of them.
But in our group, humans have, like, the largest... Like, male humans have the largest X external genitalia.
No.
Really?
No.
This is what this book is telling me, that like male penises, human male penises, are like abnormally large compared to like other similar types of...
So the really interesting thing about the size of penis and testicles...
But not...
is that it directly correlates with sexual behaviour, and we're like quite sort of average. So monogamous apes and monkeys have very small testicles, but ones that have multiple partners have very big ones.
Oh, so then we're like, we've got big ones.
We're
so.
Like slightly over. So we're like, we're not monogamous, but we're slightly polygamous. We're not like, you know, oh my God, have sex with literally everybody on the street. But we are like a bit on that scale.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fascinating. I love it. But yeah, so when, like, ideally, mm-hmm. when is this vagina museum going to open? Like, what's your, like, is it like a 5-year plan?
Like, oh, God. I mean, it massively depends on, like, how much funding we get. But it's not going to be open for years and years because, you know, we're going to need millions of pounds to, like, buy a building and refurbish it and stuff and all this kind of thing. But also, I don't want it to be open for a few years because we have to know what to put into the museum. You know, we've got to produce and design all the exhibits, then we have to evaluate them and refine them.
Yeah, so. You just need, like, a massive... rich donor.
Yeah. Any like, feminist billionaires listening?
I know. Just like, well, what's it? Sophia Amoruso just went bankrupt. So, damn it, girl boss. Like, oh, okay. And you've been doing like lots of press stuff. How's that been going? What's like people's reaction been to the Vagina Museum?
It's mostly been super positive.
Okay.
Yeah, people are really excited about it. I've had all kinds of people email me and message me, like from just sort of random people in the general public to like FGM activists saying, you know, we need this, to charity workers and scientists and doctors and midwives. I've had so many people saying like, this is amazing. I've had a few people, obviously, been like, I don't want to talk about vaginas. And I'm like, then don't. Like, just unfollow me on Twitter. It's very easy.
Oh, God. It's like, you don't want to, but look at all these other people that do.
Yeah, exactly. I do it for them. For the people who said that they want it.
Yeah. What's some of like the weirdest stuff, though, that people have said in reaction to it?
Well, there was one person who was like, why are you defining women by vaginas? And I was like, I've tried really hard not to mention women, actually, because that would be really trans exclusionary.
Sure. So making it just like about like the body.
Yeah. It's just about like anatomy and how we treat it. And there are going to be, like I've said before, there are going to be bits about gender identity, because not everybody who has a vagina is a woman, and not everyone who calls himself a woman has a vagina. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple, you know.
I think. Easy. Just wrap your head around that, folks. Yeah.
Just let people be whatever they want to be. So that was a weird one.
It'll happen. I remember like, because I tweeted out about the Vagina Museum and stuff, and then someone was just like, ugh, why this? Like, why can't there be a penis museum? Like, there already is one!
I was so waiting for someone to say that, just so I could be like, it's in Iceland!
You're like, go to Iceland! And like, you know, and Iceland is a very, like, feminist country as well. Mm-mm. So it's just like, oh, if you, like, really badly wanted a penis museum, like, go to Iceland, live there a bit, and then come back a bit more feminist.
Yeah. Do you know what's my favourite feminist thing about Iceland? Is so they don't have, like, normal surnames. They are literally, like, person son of person or person daughter of person. So when a woman gets married, she doesn't change her surname because her parents haven't changed.
What is she daughter of? Both of them?
No, it's like, I think... I'm going to get this wrong. But I think it's women are daughters of their mothers and men are sons of their fathers. I think. I'm not sure.
I'm like currently, like, so I'm not a fan of double barreled names. Mm-hmm. I'm like, as soon as everyone has double barreled names and then you like marry someone with a double barreled name and then everyone's got like a million surnames.
Five.
And like, I don't have time for that. Also, my mum never changed her name. Mm-hmm. And me and my sister were born before my parents got married. Mm-hmm. So we both have my mum's surname and my dad has a different surname, mm-hmm. which people get very confused about because they call him like Mr. Witten and he's like, no, I'm not Mr. Witten. Like, how dare you?
I like the new thing where people are smushing their names
together.
That's
what I want to do. Yeah. I'm like so game for like combined surname. Because it's nice because I also like, even though I'm like, I don't want to change my name to like my partners and I don't, mm-hmm. and I really like having that connection with my family. But also what's important to me is like me and my partner and our kids all having the same family name.
Being like part of a unit.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm into it. Smush those surnames together. Be great.
Agreed.
I'm so into it. So how do people who maybe are interested in the Vagina Museum mm-hmm. stuff, get in touch or help?
Oh, well, I mean, first, you could go to our website, which is vaginamuseum.co.uk.
We have
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Facebook, I couldn't be Vagina Museum. I had to be /V Museum because they were like, vagina's not allowed.
Oh, yeah, I know. Mark Zuckerberg, absolute prude.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, you can go there. You can donate monthly on Patreon or as a one-off if you go to our website. You could volunteer. You could hold a fundraiser. But you could also, like, talk to your local MP or the people who are running up for election about what they're doing to protect women's rights and trans rights and, you know, like, do just general activism yourself. That's also really great. We need more people.
Also, vote on the 8th of June. Vote. Register to vote. Deadline's the 22nd of May. go. Okay, amazing. Congrats. It's so cool. And I'm sure we'll just, like, hear lots more from you on the Twitters and in life and everything. Okay, we're going to be playing some games up right after this.
FUBAR Radio presents
Joey Page.
Tip Top Turpin.
Basically, when I was getting out of the tube station, there was a woman who was struggling with a 20 kilo bag of rice. I helped her with it. I offered to help, and it was very heavy. And I was like, I'm just going to throw this over my shoulder. So I sort of, as I kind of threw it over my shoulder, there was a large hole in the top of the bag, and I just poured loads of rice down my jumper. And then we sort of got to the lift, and as we stood there in silence, rice was falling out of the bottom of my jumper. There's no way she's dragging that rice around London.
Every Wednesday,
Joey Page
from 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
All right, it's game time. What is that noise? What is happening outside?
That was really weird.
Abby's here!
Hi!
Yay! And we're going to play a game of Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
Definitely feels weird playing this game at 10 in the morning. And it's not 10, it's Wednesday evening, folks. Hey, how's it going? Okay, so the way that this game works is that Abby has a list of sex positions. Some are real, some are made up. And we have to guess if it is a real position or not, and if it's real, what it is.
Ooh.
Yeah?
And also, some of them are just oral. They're not just a sex position.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just all different things our bodies can do together.
And this week, I'm actually really excited because there's really good ones.
Lizzie emailed me last night just like, oh my God, they're really good.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh.
Got some ideas.
I found this website and I was like, tomorrow we need to start using them.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so.
What have you been Googling?
So what about the Bermuda Triangle?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are three people involved?
No.
Wow. I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, I've kind of given it away then.
Yeah, if you know it's not three people, then
yeah.
Okay, then you both get a point.
Yeah.
What is it? What do you think it is?
Okay. Right, so I'm like, it has to be in the shape of a triangle.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think like how bodies...
And maybe something gets lost in that triangle. maybe
the condom.
Maybe it's
like, oh, no,
maybe it's when a guy like puts his peen in that triangle that your thigh.
That's what I say, and everyone says, "You say peen."
Like, yeah. I love it. MTV like did a thing, like a tweet about me, and they had this picture, and it was me, and they like did loads of like speech bubbles of like things that Hannah Witten like says, you know, like da, 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 and one of them was peen. Peen, like, yeah, because I just go around shouting peen all the time.
Brilliant.
Anyway, that's a tangent. Bermuda Triangle. Okay, so I'm like imagining how do people get in triangles? I'm like, I feel like one person's like lying on their side, and then the other person. I feel like it could be like a 69 if one person was a lot taller than the other person. So then, like,
they had to bend in the middle.
Yeah, then the really tall person becomes the triangle. Anyway, that's not that then, is it?
No.
That's my guess. That's my official guess. I give up. No.
Do you want to give it a whirl?
I think it's when it's 69ing, but one of them is doing oral and the other one is using their fingers, so they have to be like, you know, their arms have
to
be
out. So the arm is the other bit of the triangle. Is it oral? No, it's not.
Okay, no. I'll narrow it down for you. It's foreplay.
So it's fingers and hands. Mm. Oh, this is new. We've not had this.
Yeah,
yet.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
And there is a triangle involved. One part of the body makes a triangle.
Elbow.
Mm.
Fingers.
Leg.
Yeah.
Leg.
Oh, is it when you have sex with that knee, the backward bit of the knee? Oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Wait, but like. Oh, right. So you're putting the dick in between the back of your knee. Wait, so the knee makes. But is it a hand job or fingering?
Fingers.
I hate the word fingering. Fingering. Okay. So it's on a.
How do you.
And there's a knee making a shape, a triangle.
Oh, is the person who's being fingered like in that position where you're like stretching out your muscles? Like I can't do it. Right
like
now.
You're doing a yoga, like yoga full prison lotus. Meditation.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But like only one leg, only one knee.
Only one leg is up. Yeah. So.
But is it up? So it's like up, or is it like down? Like an
foot.
Out?
So the bottom of their foot is pressed to like their other knee.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they?
And they're sat up or lying. They could be lying down actually. Whilst the other person is over mm-hmm. them.
No, not quite.
Oh,
almost
what?
There.
What?
You're literally almost there.
Ah, is the person behind them?
Yes. And if they're not
like Ghost.
What's that?
The film Ghost with the.
Oh right, yeah.
With the.
But they're not sat down.
That they're lying down?
Nope.
They're standing up like a ballerina.
Yes. There we go.
There we go. So that's why the leg is up. I
there
see.
We go. That was a collaborative effort. There we go.
Gosh.
And also.
Oh, it's two ladies.
Yeah, it's two girls. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we found the non-heteronormative like website for sex positions. Wait, I can't post this on Snapchat right now because it's Friday morning.
Yes,
people
you can.
Will be confused. No, I'm gonna
the time zone.
I'm save going them. To take a picture and I'm gonna save it, and then on Wednesday I will post them. To Snapchat.
Mm. For the people at home who can't see the diagram.
They're also fondling with their breasts.
Yeah, there's a lot of fondling going on. So partner one stands up and the other partner is stood in front of them. They have the bottom of their foot placed towards their knee, making a triangle shape. And yeah, there's lots of fondling going on.
Yeah. I normally send all these pictures of the sex positions to my boyfriend. but I'm like, yes, Friday morning, babe. There you go.
Okay, number two is the drift bridge.
What?
The drift bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't imagine, like, making that up.
Really? No, I mean, what would drift mean? I don't think it's real.
Like a piece of driftwood? I don't know.
Okay, so Hannah's saying real.
Yeah.
It is fake.
Ah, damn it. Good one. It sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings.
We must cross the drift.
That's so true. Okay, so what funny. About the twisty three-way?
What? Twisty three-way?
Hannah looks like she's going to explode with excitement. Like,
Is it when you do oral sex in a triangle, but you're all, like, at a funny angle? Like twisty?
Wait, it's real. I'm going to say
yeah,
real.
Yeah, I think it's real.
Mm-hmm. Okay, both right. It is real.
Are there three people involved?
Yes.
This is the best website!
Okay. Oh, man, we've got another body to contend with here now.
Oh, gosh.
Right, okay.
So literally three 50% bodies, extra
twisty
body.
Three bodies. Is it like a like the human centipede, but nicer?
No.
Including three people.
No, thank God.
Okay, twisty three.
But nicer.
Does it involve Fusilli?
No, unfortunately not.
Is it are all three people lying down?
No. One person is lying down.
One person is lying down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person having most of the stuff done to them?
Yes.
Are the other two people only focused on them?
Or yes. They,
okay, interesting. So is their face being sat on?
No. Mm. Nothing to do with the face.
Nothing to do with the face.
Nothing to do with the face. Oh.
Is there any penetration involved at any point?
There is.
There is. So is the person lying down, do they have a dick? And then someone sat on the dick.
No.
No. Okay, so the person lying down, someone sat on top of the person lying down has a dick and they're penetrating them that way.
Someone sat, but they're not the person penetrating.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Wait, so there's someone lying, someone sitting, someone standing. It sounds like that improv game.
Yes, it is. Like, any one moment, someone have to have it on all three levels.
So you're getting closer and closer.
Right, okay. So.
Someone's lying down, someone sat on top, and then there's a third person.
Okay, one person's lying down, another person is giving oral sex to that person, but twisted around the other way, whilst they are being penetrated from behind by someone. Jesus Christ. Help me out, Florence.
Oh my God. it's too much to handle. My brain can't process it all.
You don't want to give it a shout?
I think... I don't know. I think the third person is just watching.
Watching and masturbating.
Yeah. That would have been a good twist. Okay, let me break this down for you. So,
oh, God.
Because you're basically there. I'll give you both a point for it.
Ding,
so,
ding, ding.
Yeah. Person one's lying down. Yeah. The second person on top. They could be, like, they could be receiving, but not in this photo that it's plausible. But they're basically sucking on breasts. And then the other person is stood behind, and at the end of bottom one, person one.
So they're
and penetrating the person lying down.
Person lying down.
Yeah.
So the person on top sucking the breasts could have a vagina or a penis. It's
yes.
Kind of irrelevant. Can you see that?
And something
got legs there.
Yeah. So the other person who's doing the penetrating is like standing off the bed.
Yes. Yeah. I see.
Mm-hmm. They're not hovering.
That's confusing.
Yeah. I'll read the description. So partner one lies on their back with their legs draped over the edge of the bed. Let's partner two enter while they're standing up, and then partner three is just knelt over the top, sort of playing with the breasts. And also the clit is optional as well.
Clit is always optional. Is it optional? It's mandatory. Yeah. All right.
That's quite a difficult one, but
yeah,
still enjoyable.
Try it at home, kids.
Tell me if you think dine and dash is a real sex position.
Dine and dash? I think it is because it's probably been done to me. Or I've done it to people. You just give oral sex and then don't stay the night.
Oh.
And I've definitely done
dining because you're eating.
Yeah.
I get it.
There's another saying for that. It's like bash and dash or something like that, isn't it?
Bash and dash.
I can't remember what it is.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm out of here.
But no, you're wrong, sorry.
Oh, no, is it not real?
I was going to say fake.
Oh, no, it is real, sorry.
Oh, it is real, but it's not that.
Yeah, but it's not that.
Oh, okay, so it's real, dine and dash.
Were you going to say it was fake?
I was going to say it was fake.
Oh, no point for you.
No point for me. It's fine, I would like... It's fine, I'll own that. Is it oral, though?
No.
Is it food related?
No, but there are other things related to food, so e.g.
Breasts. Milk.
They do give food.
I don't want to give stuff away. But
is it like is there cutlery involved?
No, but you're going along the right lines.
Wait, what? Toys? So there's like objects involved.
Objects, yeah, like clothing.
Clothing.
Yes.
Clothing.
Mm-hmm. Aprons?
Like, yeah, there is an apron.
What? That's amazing. Okay, so one person's wearing an apron and their butt is naked on the other side, and then you put your dick in.
Yeah.
Oh.
And an optional hat.
An optional hat.
There's a hat in the diagram.
Chef's
hat.
So it's literally just...
it is being taken from behind.
It's just doggy style.
Yeah.
With an apron on.
Over a kitchen counter.
Over a kitchen, yeah. The specifics.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm into it.
Do not do over the hob.
No, true.
No.
True.
There we go. If I remember, I will be posting these on my Snapchat app at this exact time on Wednesday. There we go. Amazing. Is that all of them?
Yeah.
Good work. I think Florence might have won that one.
Have you had sex outside the bedroom? As in, like, would you do it in the kitchen or whatever?
Yes, have done and will do again.
Yes, I have done. And then when my friends learnt about it, they wouldn't stop singing the remix to Ignition. Fresh out of the kitchen.
Nice.
Brilliant. I'm into it. Yeah, no, I'm kind of like, anywhere is fair game, except for
your parents' or siblings' bedrooms.
Oh, yeah,
like gross. Everyone agreed. Else is 100% fair.
What about other people's beds, but not like your parents' or siblings'?
Yeah, fair game. Watch out, friends. This was years ago, and my friend knows about this, and like I think everyone knows about this. But I did once have sex in my friend's dad's bed. Ooh. Not with my friend's dad, but but in his bed, because it was like a house party,
yeah,
style.
Parents gone away sort of thing.
Yeah,
house parties don't count.
I know, but it was still
sex anywhere in the airing cupboard.
And wherever you can find a space. The funny thing is, though, so that night, so the guy I slept with left because he had to like be up somewhere early the next morning, so he didn't stay over. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is like crashing, mm-hmm. and like falling asleep, whatever. I'm like, fucking brilliant, I've got a double bed to myself. Like,
sick.
Thank you. And so I like go to sleep, and then my ex boyfriend, who was also at this party, he'd passed out like way earlier. We are all like 17 at this point. This is why it's like a hot mess. He passed out much earlier and then woke up when everyone is asleep, mm-hmm. and he was just like lying on the floor somewhere, and so he was just like, oh fuck, I should find somewhere to sleep. Like properly. And it's like searching around, there's no like space anywhere, and he goes into the master bedroom and sees an empty bed. And climbs into a bed that he thought was empty.
Finds you.
And then falls asleep.
Oh.
And then I wake up the next morning, turn over, my ex-boyfriend is in the bed with me.
No.
And I was like, what did I do? No!
Oh my god.
What happened? Oh, and he gosh. And then he woke up and he was like, what the hell are you doing in this bed? I got into an empty bed.
Oh my gosh.
But it turns out I'm just like so tiny. He like didn't see me in the bed.
Rom-com proportions.
It really is. It's ridiculous.
I recently had a party, a Purim party, which is like this Jewish festival where you get super, super wasted. Yeah. It's the best like festival ever. And one of my friends who was there was so wasted, like he vomited over my balcony, it was a whole thing. Uh-uh. So I put him in my bed, he fell asleep, we keep drinking, I'm so wasted as well, I go and fall asleep on my bed, and then my boyfriend is still like hanging around and drinking whatever, and then he was like, okay, I'm gonna go to bed now, and he comes and there's no space in the bed. So he just crawls on the floor and he falls asleep. But then when I wake up in the morning, he's next to me and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. And he was like, oh yeah, the other guy left, so I came and joined you.
Amazing. Oh, so many fun stories like that. Okay, we're doing more games and more fun stuff right after a little bit of Nina.
So, Max, this is Living Max, has tweeted us being like, because I tweeted early this morning asking for drunk advice questions, because it is a pre-record, I'm sorry, it's early. Just saying, you're drinking now? Are you okay, hun? Aww. Yes, Max, I'm fine. We're going to be doing drunk advice later in the spirit of drunk.
It's very considerate of Max.
Yeah, looking out for me. They are. They always look out for me. So, in this little bit of the show, we kind of like want to take a chance to kind of like talk about some serious sums, mathematics, some kind of like serious stuff. And when we were talking about the Vagina Museum, when we were off air, you threw a statistic at me that you've learnt on your research. Tell the people about that.
Yeah, so the Eve Appeal, which is this gynae cancer charity in the UK, they did a survey and they found that only half of young British women could locate a vagina on a diagram.
On a diagram of a vulva? Or like on a diagram of a body? Or
I think it was a cross section. I can't recall right now.
Sure. Okay. So like internal vagina.
Or it might have been a. I can't remember. Oh, I really should check this. yeah, it might be a diagram of the vulva. I can't remember exactly which one. But like, you should be able to do both.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. And the statistic half really took me by surprise.
Yeah. And then the other thing you said about having code names.
Yeah, 60% of women have to, they use code names for their vagina and vulva and stuff, you know, like Nunny. And
did you have any as a kid? Mine was Woo.
Woo. Oh, I use Nunny. That Nunny, was my thing. Or Front Bottom.
Front Bottom. Yeah. Yeah, it's mad. Whereas, like, we're pretty okay with saying penis. I feel penis.
Yeah, it's very
my
normal.
Penis, dick, penis, yeah. Cock. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah. Vaginas are clinical, you know.
It is, but and also like often the area that you're talking about, you don't want to specifically because there's so many different words for all the different bits of it.
Yeah,
it's like, are you talking about the vagina, the labia, the vulva, the clitoris, like which bit? And it's just like actually, it's I don't know. I mean, like because I talk about it so much, like I find it a lot easier. But then even in like sexual situations, you still do find like nicknames for things, which I think is fine as long as you can say like and you feel comfortable saying like the actual words for like them. And but then like you know. In a sexy situation, like, whatever, do what you want. Oh, God. I'm dying, it's fine.
Yeah, it is super important to know. Like, I once had sex with a guy who had such a big dick, I started bleeding.
No, that's not funny.
I can laugh about it now. It was horrible when it happened. But like, I had to go to A&E and everything because there was so much blood.
What?
Yeah, the guy it was with. He knows this happened. I tried to keep it from him, but he asked if I was broken afterwards. He was really scared he broke me.
Wait, so you left afterwards and went to A&E on your own?
Yeah. I just because I didn't really realize it was happening because I was lying down, so all the blood like collected in my vagina, and I didn't realize until I was on the walk home, and like something fell into my knickers, and I thought like my cervix had fallen out or something. I was so terrified, but it was just a blood clot. But I had to go.
Just blood clot.
Yes. Oh my god, it was humongous. It must have been like 5 centimeters across. It was
what?
Huge. We named it Daenerys, born of blood. Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. So that's mad.
Yeah.
What happened then?
Oh, nothing. Yeah. Like I had a little speculum. That was the first time I ever had a speculum. So now I can't really think or look at speculums without kind of shivering. But they like had a little examination and they said, oh, you've got a bit of cervical erosion. And I was like, oh, my God, what's that? And it's when like the cells from the inside of your cervix migrate to the outside. And because they're normally used to the inside, they're very sensitive. And so when he was like banging against my cervix, all of my cells were like,
run away.
And I asked the doctor, like, why would this happen? Why would this erosion happen? And she says, oh, you know, hormonal changes. And I'm like, I'm a biochemistry student. I know what that means. Am I pregnant? And she was like, maybe. And I had to, like, have a pregnancy test and everything. And it came out negative. But I went, oh, my God, I was so scared. I was, like, in my third year of university. And I was like, I don't know what I would do if I got pregnant. I mean, I know what I would do, to be honest.
Let's be real.
Yeah, but it would be really difficult. Like, you know, that can't be denied.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that sounded like a fun day for you. Do I know them?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Now I'm like, who?
Off air.
Yeah, off air. I'm gonna figure it out.
No, it was really, because it was my third year of uni, so I was doing like a research project. And so I went on the lab WhatsApp group and I was like, guys, I can't come into the lab today because I've been in hospital. And they were really nice and they didn't ask why. And I was so terrified they would. Because how could I just put it on WhatsApp with my supervisor? So my cervix is bleeding.
I mean, yeah. I think sometimes, though, if people then ask and you say something like that, like, my vagina is bleeding everywhere, they'll just be like, oh, okay, sorry.
Never ask again.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like,
yeah.
We had one of my friends at uni, she won herself the nickname Cock Smasher.
Ooh.
Because there were two guys in our friendship group that she had, like, kind of, relationship with at some point. And both of them, she broke their dick.
Oh.
Which I'm like, this literally means that you are riding them really hard and fast with a lot of friction and, like, not enough lube.
Yeah.
So I'm just like...
Surely it's painful for her, too.
Yeah. I was like, are you having a good time? Anyway, so, yeah, dick broken, like, you know, like... fully, you know, got to go to hospital and then can't like have sex for weeks and everything. I'm just like,
that's horrible. Yeah, but I could have sex immediately after that.
That's all right then.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all good. But yeah, anytime she walked into a room, it was like, cock smasher. It was really bad. God, students are annoying, aren't they?
Sounds like a superhero name.
The cock smasher is here.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'll come and smash it. No.
Jesus. But like, you know, men can be known as the pussy smasher. And that's like, you know, like a compliment. You know.
Oh, I've never heard that, pussy smasher. Oh, no. I hate that.
Like, but I smash that pussy.
No. Maybe it's just the groups that I roll in.
No, I guess I have. I don't think I've heard like an actual human saying it.
So oh, right,
like
yeah.
like sincere. Not, I mean, you wouldn't say that sincerely, no. but without any hint of irony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like say it for real. I'm like, oh, uh-huh, oh, God, fake smell,
yeah.
Do you like the word pussy? That's one of contention, I feel.
Yeah, it's. I think it's mostly to do with how these words are used. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I do love cats. Just saying, I do really love them. But yeah, I think pussy is often said in quite a like objectify-y way. Mm-hmm. You know, people say it as like a woman is just the vagina which I can have sex with, and it's just that's how people use it. And I have mm-hmm. more a problem with that rather than the word itself.
Sure. But then they inform each other. Because like, yes, because yeah. of all of that, I like when I hear the word pussy, when it's like being when it's referring to a vagina, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I feel a bit slimy.
I'm like, that turns me off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, ooh, no. Mm. Oh, man, I wish I could have vagina chat every day.
Do. There's nothing stopping you.
I know. I'm just like, hey, vagina talk time. Okay, so... Florence, you've mm-hmm. picked a song about sex, and I'm very mm-hmm. excited about it. Do you want to just... we'll talk about it after we've played it, but do you want to just give it its intro?
Yeah, so you may remember the song Blurred Lines by mm-hmm. Robin Thicke, which was, I found, a super annoying song because the lyrics were awful, and they were like... You know, when she says no, she actually means yes. And it was like, guys, this is literally rape culture in a song. But it's so catchy!
Yeah, oh my God. Every time it comes on, I find myself like a minute into the song and I'm dancing and singing along before I realise what I'm actually doing. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I know. And it's like, you're there and you're like, no, I shouldn't be doing this. But anyway, so some people uploaded a feminist parody of it. And it's amazing. I watched it like 100 times.
I do remember this when it came out, yeah.
So we're playing this. Whenever I was in the club in university... you know, at Birmingham, and this song came on, my friend and I would yell the alternative feminist lyrics.
Amazing. Yeah, I think I only watched it once or twice, so I don't know the lyrics too well, so I'm very excited. So this is the Blurred Lines feminist parody.
Every bigot shut up.
Oh my goodness, I love it so much. I got so scared. So there's a man outside the window. I think he's like painting. There's like scaffolding out. Is he painting or is he... I think he's painting. He's lit. Like, we could just like wave at him. He's right there. No, he's got headphones in though.
Maybe he's listening to us.
Maybe he's, yeah. Maybe he's listening to Food Bar Radio. Oh my goodness. We're like, hello, mister. Okay. Oh, that was brilliant. I definitely heard this song and, like, saw the video, like, for it when it first came out. But that was just, like, really amazing to relive it. Okay, we're going to dissect some lyrics here now. I think my favourite bit, though, is, mm-hmm. like, you just can't grab me. That's a sex crime. I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
So funny. Just like, yeah, that's illegal.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I like how she says, gotta respect me to be your boo. So she's saying, like, you know, I've got nothing against having sex with you, but you've got to, like, give me respect first.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I don't want to have sex. I just don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah, exactly. And then bake a feminist cake.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I baked banana cake and I brought it into the studio.
She did, it was lovely.
I was like, everyone have some cake. I'm just having a look at what other bits are. Don't want you to come on my face.
Don't want you to come on my face.
Yeah.
No. It really stings when it gets in your eye.
Confirm. Can confirm.
Also, I tend to have terrible aim.
Yeah, it was my... To be honest, when it happened to me, it was my fault. I was the one holding, and I didn't aim properly, and it just went...
Sometimes it comes out at funny angles and, like, different projections. You know, sometimes it kind of just goes a bit...
It was funny, though. We managed to laugh it off. But I'm just like... No, not never again. And you're lucky that it was an accident and it was actually my fault.
Yeah.
But, oh, man.
I like the bit at the end when she starts saying, you know, like, show me your six pack, and she turns it on its head. And because you know how, like, men are like, oh, we also get, you know, pressure to look a certain way. And it's like, yeah, but, like, everyone gets that, so don't do it to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want a box gap? Show me a six pack. Yep. Stupid. You want a landing strip? You better get ripped. apologise if you think my lines are crossed. Tell me how it feels to get verbally harassed.
Boom.
I love it.
I like the parallels as well to the original song, because it actually shows why that one was so bad. Like, you know, to make you a sandwich when we're on all fours, because there's that bit in the video where, like, there's a naked woman, like, crawling around on all fours and stuff. And then also, like, you want to hug me, don't you mean fuck me? Because, like, in the song, he actually goes, like, you know, will you hug me or whatever? And it's like, no.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, there was another bit that I was just like, that, yes. And I can't find it. Talking about Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
Which, okay, so Entourage confuses me because I actually love it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, is it self-aware? Is it a self-aware parody of itself? Mm. Or is it actually what it is?
Yeah.
And I'm still enjoying it. Like, I'm very, very confused about my emotions around Entourage.
I've never seen it because
I think it's because I love the character E so much. He's so adorable. He's so adorable, but he, like, doesn't... He's just awful with women.
Yeah.
They're all awful with women. It's literally just, like, the character Vinny Chase, mm-hmm. who is, like... You know, they're from Queens, I think, and, like, he, like... got this big break in acting and now they're all living in Hollywood and he's like brought his mates along with mm-hmm. him and is who literally they don't, you know, they're just a bit shit and don't know anything about Hollywood or the industry, but yeah. He's just like, oh yeah, my mates from Queens mm-hmm. are all gonna hang out, it's, and we're just gonna like this amazing lifestyle and get all mm-hmm. of the poon. No.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like wish fulfillment to be honest, a wish
but
fulfillment
it's
film.
So ridiculous. I'm like, this is a parody or like satire, is it? Yeah. I don't know, maybe I just want an excuse to love Entourage. And I'm like,
you gotta justify it somehow.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a really clever social commentary on sexist men in Hollywood. Yes, and lad culture.
Yeah. It's a really fine line between like being satirical and just doing the thing that you are trying to say is bad.
Yeah, I'm in this. I love it. I like get caught out by satirical news headlines quite mm-hmm. a lot, so much so that I have to like really check myself. Uh-huh. And so I'm in this Facebook.
Check your sources.
I know. I'm in this Facebook group, and someone posted. I need to find this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it real quick right now. But someone posted a headline in the group, which was something about. Here we go. Meatloaf confirms, but I won't do that, was a strap-on. So it's this whole news article about the song, like, I'll do anything for love,
but I won't do that.
And it's about how, he was in a situation with a lady and, like, it was a strap-on and he was just like, anything but that. and it produced the best, like, one of the most well-known, like, love ballads, and it's all about a strap-on. And I was just like... And people in this group are like, oh my God. And I like Googled the news outlet and it was like a satirical website. And I was like, guys, it's satire. And they're all like, oh. And I felt so proud of myself for like finding it out.
Wow.
But I was just like, I don't believe that. That's such a...
Politics is so crazy now that sometimes I see real headlines and I'm like, no, that can't be true. Like how Theresa May would said she would bring back fox hunting.
Yeah.
And I read that. I was like, oh, that's definitely an Onion article. And I was like, no, it's The Independent.
You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Literally the Tories are a satire of themselves. Who knows? Vote, guys! 8th of June!
Go vote!
Register to vote before the 22nd of May. Very important. Very important. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to... Oh, yeah, and I just got, like, a massive tangent of, like, satire and Entourage. what else do we like about this song? I'm like, or lyrics. I feel like there's not much to analyse here because I'm just like, it says what it is. There's nothing, can't really go much deeper.
No. I like, your precious dick can't beat my vibrator.
Yeah, classic.
Because dicks can't vibrate, you know?
They can't vibrate, but also, I'm not a massive fan of having something inside me that's vibrating.
Yeah, you know, you can't really feel it as much.
I'm like, that's strange. But yes, it is true. If we're talking pure, like, from zero to orgasm, mm-hmm. vibrator, and we're like, it's speed at which that happens, vibrator always wins.
Yeah. It's the car analogy here.
what?
I don't know. Like, a car that goes from, like, 0 to 90 in 10 seconds, the vibrator. And I wanted to make a great joke being like, it's the Jaguar of sex toys.
It's the stealth
uh-huh.
of... of sex toys.
Okay.
Which is, I think Stealth is that roller coaster at Thorpe Park that like, goes from like, good, like is ridiculously fast. Or is that Swarm?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Stealth. Because Swarm I've been on, and that's like the biggest roller coaster I'll ever go in my life, and I'm like, I'm done. I did that. That's it. I'm done. I will continue going to Disneyland, and I will, because like some of the roller coasters there are like pretty hardcore, even though it's still all for kids
at Disney.
Yeah, because oh, it's like wow. Every roller coaster is kid friendly, yeah. Even the, but there are some that are like pretty cool. So I'm like perfect. No like mm-hmm. massive thrill seekers. Like the log flume at Disneyland. I'm like, aww. Oh my god. But yeah, anyway, great fucking song. Thanks for that throwback. I did actually find myself at a party recently where Bloodlines came on, and I was like, you know, halfway through the song before I realised what was happening. Yeah. And I was like singing along, and I was like, god damn it.
Yeah.
God damn
it. If it comes
Robin
on in the club, I just have to like leave and just like have a bit of fresh air first.
Yeah. Although, like, if we do that to every song, we'll just be like, oh, don't, just not go, just not on the dance floor ever. Yeah. Like, oh, everything is problematic.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going to be doing some more games and then drunk advice later. And even though we are technically not live, it is still being filmed, drunk advice. So if you do head over to FUBAR Radio's Facebook page, the video of drunk advice will be up there, so it'll be as if you're watching live.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't just have to hear us, you can like watch us too, and it'll be grand. Next up, we've got Fashion by John Bellion.
I hit him with the boots in July, bitch, I don't need snow.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
So I'm going to put this in my mouth.
Well, it's like a gum shield. It's something you'd wear if you were having your teeth whitened or you were playing rugby. It's not very attractive.
No, not very attractive.
And what are you going to do? You're going to try and say something?
I'm going to say some phrases.
Don't, you'll be great at having your teeth whitened. Jesus lights are looking at me.
My lunchbox.
Lunchbox.
Is.
Filled.
Filled.
With.
With.
Lemon.
Lemon?
Melons. My lunchbox is filled with lemons.
Melons.
Melons!
Yes!
Every Thursday.
Access all areas.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
All right, Florence. Mm-hmm. It is time for a sexy, sexy game.
Oh, God, I love
dirty talk. So you have those pieces of paper in front of you.
Yes.
Don't look at them just yet.
Okay.
It's an improv game. You like improv.
I do like improv.
So basically, we are going to have phone sex.
Oh, God.
We're going to talk dirty to each other.
I'm so bad at phone sex.
I think everyone like is, you know, but you just have to kind of like get in the zone and okay. It'll be fine. And then whilst we are dirty talking, mm-hmm. we'll like take it in turns to turn over a piece of paper, and whatever word is on there, we have to incorporate into whatever it is that we're saying.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to call me, or I can call you?
You go first, so I can get a feel for how it works.
I can call you. Yeah. I'll just ring you up. Bring, 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 bring.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi, Florence Schechter.
Oh, I love it when you say my name correctly.
Yeah, I've just been thinking of you, baby, and your name, and just like been going around in my head making sure that I get it correct. Yeah, so I've been thinking about sliding into your DMs
Ooh.
Recently, but then I realised that I have your phone number, so I'll just call you instead, and tell you how much I've been thinking about sliding into your DMs.
Mm.
If I slid into your DMs, I would say something like, "What's up, girl?"
Would there be a sexy gift to go with it?
It would be an aubergine.
Oh.
Yeah, it would go with an aubergine, exactly.
I love it, even though neither of us have aubergines.
No, but it still...
Unless
still
they're on offer at Tesco. that is really just turning me on. I've been thinking about you too, and thinking about this radio show, and I've been thinking about... but there's only one thing I can do with this. I've been thinking about that time when you put Vaseline on your lips and you put your fingers all over, and I thought, oh, I'd like her to do that to
yeah.
me.
Whenever I put Vaseline on, I don't do it because I actually have very moist lips. I don't actually need the Vaseline. I just do it to tease you because I know how much you like it. And then with my beautifully lubricated lips, I will then pop open a bottle of champagne and drink it right out of the bottle onto my lubricated, moist lips right in front of you, just teasing you.
I'm going to imagine a hip-hop video happening in the background as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
And in that hip-hop video, you are the criminal. And I am police officer.
Let's play cops and robbers, baby.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to take you in down to the station. But you plead with me and you say, no, don't take me in.
But I want you to handcuff me.
Yeah, but let's just stay here for a little bit.
Oh, well, the thing is that you caught me because I wasn't wearing a disguise. Whereas every other time...
It's a rookie mistake.
I know. Every other time I've been wearing a disguise and you never knew it was me.
Oh, but every time?
Every Bob? Time.
Were you Bob?
I cannot confirm. I can... if I was Bob or if I was Jeremy.
Oh, God. But maybe you were both.
Maybe.
And, oh, God, you know, there's just one thing left to do, really.
What's that?
And that's to bonk.
Oh, what a group. The music just ended. And now we're bonking, and I've taken my disguise off. I'm not Bob anymore.
No.
Lubricated lips of champagne, Hannah. And then sliding into the DMs. What was your other ones you had? Bonk,
Vaseline and criminal. I know, but like Vaseline, that's like already a sexy thing.
Well, it's oil-based, so you shouldn't use it as a lube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that,
because it breaks
folks.
Down the condom, doesn't it?
Yep, 16-year-old Hannah learned that the hard way, to Boots to get herself a morning after pill.
Oh, God. I did that once, but the condom just broke. Like, I don't think there was a reason for it.
Sometimes I had two condom breakages when I was a teenager, and I haven't had any since. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, like, when you're new to the whole thing and you're not as comfortable like communicating, like, I don't think I'm wet enough, and like you don't use lube every time and like things like that, and so
oh God, it took me way too long to start using lube.
Oh, like, changed I use it my like, life every time, like it's just like part of the routine now.
Yeah,
bloody love lube. It's great.
And I mean, you can like, it's one of those great things where you can make it really sexy. You know, even though it's just like kind of a tool.
It's definitely sexy.
Lube you up with all my Vaseline.
Lubricated lips, la la la. By the way, during that, dear listeners, there was not just one man outside the window. There were two.
Yeah.
They've disappeared now, though. But it's really strange, though, because sometimes you can hear things out of that window, like loud things. They're like motorbikes or whatever. But... because if we can hear what's outside, then surely like they can, like, can they hear us?
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know if we're like projecting that loud. And one had a ponytail.
Very fetching.
Fetching ponytail. I think our producer has a crush.
Maybe we should set him up.
Yeah, we're like, hey. Oh my goodness, they've gone now. I'm just like, hello. No, I don't want to. They'll just like suddenly come round the corner. It's just very strange that there's like, because we're like a few floors up as well.
Yeah.
And then there's
it must
just
have
like
taken
scaffolding like outside the window. It's like, hello. Oh, I've just realised that this has never happened before, because it's a Friday morning when we're recording this, and the show goes out Wednesday evening, so they're not there. They finished their day's work then. Oh, I'm like, yeah, why are there people here today? Like, this is really strange.
Normal working
hours.
This has
never happened before. What are normal working hours? I don't even know. No. Madness. What, I wanted to ask about your production company as well. Like, you do like science communication stuff on top of stuff. What's that?
Yeah.
Because you have your own YouTube channel. Is that part of it, or is there other stuff that you make as well?
So that's like separate. So I've got my own personal YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And then I've got this like science film company called Collab Lab. That's my day job. And we make films for like clients, you know.
Yeah.
So like we did a series of videos for the Pint of Science Festival, which is happening like on the, it's really soon. It's the 15th to the 17th of May.
Oh, cool.
We're making some videos for like universities, and we've done gigs with like the Royal Society and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Amazing. And it's just you and one other person?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and one other person. And then we also like bring in contractors and freelancers and stuff as well.
Amazing. Oh, that's so cool that you're like got your own business and it's like
startup culture.
I love it. Okay, we're going to be doing drunk advice shortly. It's drunk advice live, but it's not live, but you can still go over to Foobar Radio's Facebook page and watch the video, like watch it happening as you're listening.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like our faces will match up with the sound.
Yes. But it means you can visually see us. And it gonna be great. Okay, drunk advice right after this. All right. Hello, people.
Hello.
Welcome to Drunk Advice Live, coming to you from not live, but hi, hello. You can watch us in video form as well, if you fancy, on Foobar Radio's Facebook page, if you head over there. So, drunk advice. There are three rules to drunk advice. Rule number one, be drunk. If you don't drink, be in the spirit of drunk. It's currently 11 a.m. on a Friday morning. We are not drunk. To confirm, just because I know people like expect a certain level of just like alcoholism from me in general, but like to confirm,
it's a bit too far. Yeah. I mean, noon at least.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. But yeah, no, we're not. But we're in the spirit of drunk.
We're in the spirit.
Rule number two: have a friend with you. It's Florence.
I'm a friend.
We're all friends. And rule number three: don't take our advice. Don't do it. It's not going to work well for anyone.
No.
But also we might give some stellar advice and don't take that either. Okay, so we've got loads of questions in from you guys because we tweeted out earlier. And these are also just like past drunk advice questions that we've like not got around to answering at some point. So hopefully your question is in here. If you've always felt like, why you don't answer my question? It might be in here. Okay, this one kind of confuses me and I need to figure out what the hell's happening in this situation. Okay. So dating two people, they're both cool with it. When the time comes, how do I let one down easy? I still really want to stay friends.
Oh.
So is this a situation where you've like started dating one person and then you've also like got started dating another, like when you're like dating and then like it's just kept going and you realise at some point down the line you're going to have to pick one?
Yeah. Like, how far down are they? Well, I mean, that's happening loads now. Like, the dating apps, you know. I'll go on a couple of dates with this person, a couple of dates with that person.
And then
just kind of test the waters a bit.
I think it's, like, one might stick.
Yeah.
Or none might stick.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it's not a case of having to let one down easy. You might have to let both of them down.
Yeah.
Or
who knows what the future
or
holds.
Or you might be polyamorous and you just keep dating both of them forever until the end of time.
They might stay cool with it for ages.
Maybe they're dating.
Yeah. Maybe they're dating other people.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have to let you down.
We need more information.
But I just think it's like when you're dating and you're just like in that beginning stages of stuff, I think it's just like so much easier when you just figure out where everyone stands and you're just like, oh, what's going on with you? Like, I enjoy hanging out. Like, da 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 da. Are you seeing anyone else? Like,
just be honest and open.
And especially, like, if you're having, like, a sexual relationship with both of these people as well, then communication is especially important because, like, if you're sleeping with, like, multiple people, then just, like, wear a condom, protection, all of that kind of stuff. Like, everyone needs to kind of, like, know their status and, like, have that trust that, like, you're also going to be using a condom with the other person. So, all of that. Just, I still really want to stay friends. To be honest, I just don't feel like... It's really weird. Like, I used to be such a, like, yeah, like, you can totally be friends with people afterwards. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you don't have to be,
actually. You don't have to be.
Like, that's fine. Like, And sometimes it's actually worse if you try and stay friends. Yeah. But if you've just, I think if you've just casually dated somebody, mm-hmm. then staying friends is actually much easier. Because, because you might meet. So say if you like, you meet someone on a dating app, and so you're like, oh, we're dating. And then you're like, but you still really like them. So it might just be like, I know.
Oh, no. I
know people that like, they lived together. Uh-huh. They became like housemates and like really good friends after meeting on Tinder.
Oh.
And like going on a couple of dates and realizing, no, we're not for each other, but actually like we could be really good friends. Yeah. And then they ended up like moving in together as mates.
Oh, wow. It totally depends on the person. Because like I went on a date with a guy off Tinder, and I just wasn't attracted to him sexually at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But he was so interesting and cool. And I just said straight out, like, I just want to be totally clear. Like, I do want to see you again, but just as a friend. And I think you're really cool and amazing.
Yeah.
Deleted Tinder. Never contact me again. He's completely, couldn't find him. He reacted really badly to it.
Wow. Yeah.
Depends on the person.
But yeah, and also I think you're like, you're anticipating something that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So you're like, when the time comes, how do I do it? It's like, worry about that when you like, when you're in the situation where you know either you have to end it with one person or both people or they've ended it with you, like...
Yeah, they might beat you to it.
They might beat you to it, yeah. God. So I wouldn't worry about it until you get there. Communication from the outset, though.
Yeah.
How can someone keep going after a string of rejections for a job?
Oh, God. I've been in this a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The main thing that I always use is, like, how many rejections did J.K. Rowling get before Harry Potter got published? Like that. Like that. You just gotta...
Yeah. You just gotta keep going. Yeah. Keep going, because you don't know which one will be your break.
And you don't... Yeah, it wasn't the right... Like, all of them just, like, weren't the right fit for whatever reason. And I know it sounds, like, really cheesy, but it's like, it's all meant to happen.
Yeah. When Van Gogh was alive, everybody hated his work. It was only once he died.
So when you're dead, you'll get loads of job offers. So, good luck.
What I did was I just created my own job. I just started my own company.
Yeah.
I did that because I could actually get the job I wanted, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Start your own company.
Start a company.
In these terribly uncertain economic times. So is the job that you've like created for yourself now like your dream job?
Not quite. It's a bit too much admin.
Yeah, a lot of admin.
But I mean, director of a vagina museum would be a pretty cool job.
Yeah. Like if your company, like the more clients you get and the more jobs you can, like, hire someone to do the admin.
Yeah. Like, oh God, I cannot wait until we have enough money that I can like employ a PA.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Bloody love that. I want a PA. Here we go. How to be prepared for the last year of uni. I do not feel ready, and it's incredibly daunting. How to be prepared to work hard.
Oh God. Oh, I'm getting flashbacks.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, third year.
Yeah.
It was hard. I think, man, how to be prepared for it. Okay, so you go. So you've just finished second year, I'm assuming, because it's like May, so second year's over.
Yeah.
So you've got a few months. I would, over the summer, really, like, take some time to really chill the fuck out. Mm. Like, do that. But then also, like, over the summer, I started working on my dissertation. Wow. I, like, just started doing... Because I had a lot of reading to do and a lot... Because, like, my primary sources were books.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had a lot of books to get through and read. And so I just started doing that over the summer. And it meant that, like, when it actually came to, like, then week by week doing work for seminars and doing work for essays and, like, all of that kind of stuff and then doing the dissertation, I was just like... Got this. Yeah. Stressing, but like not as much if I hadn't have done that already.
Yeah. I did a science degree, and so I had no idea what my dissertation would be until I actually went into the lab. I couldn't prepare for it really. Because you have to like work with data, and so like you have to have the data really first before you can do anything.
You're just like, okay, let's do some experiments.
Yeah,
let's explode some stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean. Oh, excuse me. I would say just like block out time to work. Be like, I am not doing any kind of societies or friend stuff. I am working in this point. And be like, you know, every Wednesday, not between 6 and 8, whenever Hannah's on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, do it between 4 and 6. This is like third year work. And then you could take a break by listening to Hannah.
Exactly. Sounds great. Great advice. Great advice. I love it. What was one you said that you saw, you have personal experience in some of these? Is there any that you stand out to you that you want to ask?
So many. What do you do when you hate your job but you need the dollar? Yeah, I did that for about 2 years. I did that for longer, actually, even during my summer jobs. Something that was great was when I was saving up in the summer, I just counted each day how much I had earned. Like, even by the hour, I'd be like, I've made another £8. Like, you know. But I think, oh God, it was really hard. I hated my jobs so much. Aww. I wanted to, like, pull my own hair out. But you know, sometimes you don't have a choice. And so it's just like, I just kept dreams in my head. I do a lot of daydreaming. But, like, also, like, you know, what is it that you actually want to do?
I think, if you just, like, occupy your mind with, like, what is it you're going to do with that money that you're earning? And, like, what is it going towards? What is your, like, larger financial goal with that? Is it so you can go on holiday? Is it so you can move to a different city and get a different job there?
Yeah.
Like, if you keep that in mind, just, like,
keep moving forward.
Just keep doing it. Yeah. Like, beep, beep, whatever it is you're doing. Oh, man. It does make me sad, though. Like, I think it's totally fine to do a job that you hate for the money.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's sad when that then becomes your career. Like, you see a lot of people who just, like, hate their not just hate their jobs, but, like, hate their career.
Yeah. And like, then they just, like, they never changed. And then it's suddenly, like, they're 40 years old. And they're like, how am I still doing this?
Yeah, like, oh, shit. And I'm like, create your own jobs. Oh God, for such millennials. Like, I'm self-employed YouTuber. And I've got a science media company.
It's difficult though when you have like responsibilities and like dependents and stuff. So, you know, there are others. I'm so lucky not to have a dependent or a mortgage or anything, because that would totally change it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're just like, I don't have anybody to think of except myself.
Yeah, it's very freeing.
How do I do the life thing? Oh, God, it's 11:11. Make a wish. Oh.
Okay. How do I do my wish was how to know the answer to this question. If anybody knows how to do the life thing, please tell us. Thing. Oh, my God.
I wish to know how to do the life thing. I just... Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, it depends what area in life as well. Funny story. This is kind of like related because I'm like bad at some very basic adult things. Mm-hmm.
Like
knowing what detergent is and fabric softener and like things like that. I'm like, I don't use fabric
softener. I don't use softens fabrics.
Yeah, or like the best ones to use because so when my stuff comes out of the wash, it like it's clean and it's fine.
Yeah,
but I'm not excited by it. And then I know, but then when I was away recently, my housemate, a friend of hers, needed a place to crash.
Yeah.
So I was like totally cool, like had clean sheets on the bed. Mm-hmm. And then her friend like stayed in my room for a bit. And then she cleaned the sheets for me. Mm-hmm. And so then when I got home and I got into bed, I was like, oh my God, it smells amazing. And like, this is incredible. And I'm like, what do you use?
Teach me your magic.
What's the secret? Because mine just like smells of nothing. It's like, it's just clean. Yeah. Like there's nothing, that's it. Whereas I got into that bed after she'd cleaned the sheets, I was like, what is this?
Wow. Like, I had to learn all of those chores from a young age. Because you know how some kids, like, you know, they're bribed by their parents to do chores. They're like, oh, I'll give you £10 if you do this. My mum was not like that. She was like, you live here, you're going to help me.
I think I was like a very strange kid because when I turned 16, so I went to my college, which was like the first time not wearing uniform, and my sister was still in school, I suddenly decided on my own, I was like, I want to do my own washing. I was like, so I made my parents teach me how to use the washing machine and the dryer. I think it's because I've always needed control.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't have school uniform, so I have to have like actual clothes to wear every day, and I want to choose what I'm wearing, and I want to make sure that everything is clean. And I want to feel like an adult, so I can be like, I do my own washing at home.
Independence is important,
so I did that. But they still did not teach me about fabric softeners. So. Screw you, mum and dad.
You failed.
failed.
You failed.
So, yeah. I need to ask her, actually. This has just reminded me. I need to, like, go home and be like, Lauren, what do you use for your sheets? Because I want some and it's nice. I want to be excited every time I clean my sheets.
Oh, I love that feeling when you shave your legs and you get into bed and it's so soft and smooth. Oh, I love that feeling.
I don't shave my legs.
No.
I just don't like putting a razor to my legs, but I like do the, I get them waxed.
Oh, okay.
But they, it means they like really grow out.
Mm.
They go like, they get long. They get so long for months. It's amazing. Okay, we are going to be doing some more drunk advice right after this.
Mathematics.
All right, we've got some more drunk advice questions. So how do I get over a crush on a straight girl?
Oh, God, that's hard. Been there, done that.
Yeah. I don't have personal experience with this. Is it the same as, like, getting over anyone? Or is
yeah.
it... So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it totally is. Like, but, I mean, unlike... getting over, say, if you're straight and a woman getting over a man who is also straight.
Yeah.
Like, there's never the possibility is the thing.
Is that worse, there never being a possibility? Or is it better? Because if someone doesn't fancy you,
mm-hmm.
but they are, like, attracted to your gender, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, so it's specifically me you're not into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, like, if they're not into your gender, then you can just be like... Well,
yeah, yeah, scot-free.
It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still amazing.
Yeah, yeah, like, totally.
I don't know. Might be easier in that sense. But then I guess there's the whole, like, that feeling of, like, doom and gloom. Like, they'll never be attracted to men.
Yeah, there's no, like, hope for the future.
Yeah, it's like, crushing. I think, yeah, it's just the same advice I would give for, like, just moving on in general. It's just, like, don't talk to them.
Yeah.
Don't.
Give
don't,
it time.
Yeah. Exactly. Love it. There you go. Sorry about that. Hope it works out, but also move on.
You'll find someone else.
Find a nice lesbian.
Yeah. Or bi woman.
Or bi woman. Or yeah. pan. Or yeah. whatever.
Or somebody who is attracted to your gender.
And you. Yeah.
Specifically you.
Someone who likes you. This is a really deep question. I was like, I have no idea how to answer this. Help, how do I stop hating my mum for cheating on my dad?
Oh, God. That's hard, isn't it?
Oh, I think...
Heavy.
Like, oh, that is heavy. I think, like, I have no personal experience with this. My parents are, like, still together. But I would say the first step is, like, trying to remember that your parents are human.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And, like, and on a... like human level, trying to not necessarily understand or excuse your mum for what happened,
yeah.
but actually just kind of like forgiving in the sense of like your parents are people and they've got their own yeah. shit going
they're
on
not
or
perfect.
Whatever. Yeah, and they're not perfect and blah blah blah. And people do shitty things and it just so happens that it's your parents and you're like, how dare you? Because you love both of them, but then you're like, ha. Yeah.
But also, it's really like for them to sort out, to be honest.
Yeah, it shouldn't affect you, but unfortunately sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Are they still together? Like, what happened?
I don't know. I'm going to need follow-up drunk advice.
Yeah, like, what are they... Because I know some people whose, like, parents... like one of them was having an affair,
mm-hmm.
but then they like found out and they've like stayed together and like
yeah.
built a new like better relationship.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the end, not yeah. necessarily.
No, for some people it's like nah, but I guess it depends. Like every relationship is different in terms of like how they would deal with a situation like that. But yeah, just to remember that your parents are human. But that sucks and that's sad. Don't hate that's your mum. Or hate your mum if she deserves to be hit. But like, yeah, also don't yeah. hate your mum. Oh. Okay. What one do you want to do?
I don't know. What to do when you're having a bad day, but you can't take the day off because you've got too much to do. I have that. I think it's just making sure you're looking after yourself.
Yeah.
Making sure you take breaks.
Take the evening off.
Yeah. And, like, have things that you know you're going to look forward to do. So if you know, like, oh, I have to do this thing that I really hate and I just can't bring myself to do it, do something afterwards that you know will make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
So like have that chocolate bar waiting for you or something. Be like, I can only have that once I've done this thing that is making me feel horrible.
Yeah, definitely. And I think don't try and push yourself too hard. Like if you're having a bad day, get the absolute, like, prioritize and get like the bare minimum that you have to get done. Like don't like do all those like extra things, because you will have days where you're like feeling really good and you're like a lot more energetic and motivated, and it's on those days that you'll be able to like pick up those extra bits that you didn't quite get done. And so like bare minimum of stuff.
Just delegate. If there's someone in your life who can do that thing so you can take the day off.
Or if you've got some money, pay someone to do it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice.
That would be great. Oh, there you go. Please make my sheet smell delicious.
That's quite easy to pay someone to do something.
If you have the money.
Yeah, as opposed to like registering to vote, you're like, oh, I know I have to do it.
It takes less than 5 minutes register to vote.
But I need to get a postal vote because I'm going to be at the Cheltenham Science Festival at the
also takes the less than 5 minutes.
No, you have to like get it, you have to like print out a form and stuff.
No, they send it to you. You can register to postal vote online as well, and then they send you the form and then you post it.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. Thank you, Hannah.
You're welcome. I had to postal vote for the EU referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was away for that, so I had to postal vote.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I know.
You're welcome, everybody.
Some actually a good thing came out of drunk advice. I got some advice.
You got some advice. I love it. Everyone is having a great time. Okay, one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk. How do you know a decision you make is the right one?
You don't.
You don't no. until you've made it.
Yeah.
It's like after you've made a decision, suddenly like... I often, you know, it's the right one when you feel like a weight has been lifted.
Yes, yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I just feel so much happier now. And like, because the decision, like the actual like leading up process of like that anxiety and that worry of like making a decision, it's like, and then as soon as you make it, it's like, oh my God, I'm free. Really.
My boyfriend has this really good trick where he will flip a coin and he'll say like, heads is this thing and tails is another thing. And then he flips it. And in that moment when the coin, you feel yourself hoping for one of them. And then as soon as it lands and he goes and he doesn't look at it and he's like, I'm really hoping it to be this one. And then he's made the decision. He doesn't have to look at the coin.
Oh, and he doesn't look at the coin?
No.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm into it. I like that. That reminds me of that episode of Friends where Rachel is pregnant and she does a pregnancy test and Phoebe looks at it and Phoebe kind of goes, oh no, it's negative, you're not pregnant. And Rachel's like really upset and she's like, that's your real emotion, that's how you really feel, it's actually positive, you're pregnant.
Oh god, that's horrible.
That's, Phoebe's just like that, isn't she? Alright, thank you for all of your questions. Thank you, Florence, for coming and joining me on FUBAR Radio Wednesday 6 until 8 p.m. It's not Friday morning. And Vagina Museum, last little plug, where vaginamuseum.co.uk.
Yeah,
Patreon, Twitter, Instagram, all of that good stuff. Make sure you tune in next week, foobarradio.com, for the Hannah Wooden Show. And this will also be available to download as a podcast on iTunes. And this last song that we're going to play is You.
Yeah, and a guy called Alex Lethbridge, a.k.a. Rapstract. He's a science rapper. He also has a YouTube channel, so you can check him out. He's amazing.
Amazing. So this is a rap song about science. Sexy science.
It's called Stupid Sexy Science.
I'm so excited to hear this.
Disco, huh? Rapstract.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.